We go up on appeal. The majority says, well, you know, the specification describes a lot of advantages for this authentication method. You could have a less complex system, software system, that provides just as good or maybe even better authentication. And the way this worked was, you know, you're typing away and you want on your computer and you want to do some transaction online. And so you have an app on your mobile device that's the Cosmo Key, not the Cosmo Key, the Cosmo Key app. And you say, ah, I know I need to authenticate, click. And then when you do your transaction, the transaction server knows that you're doing this, checks through a second communication channel than the one your computer's connected to, checks with the mobile phone and says, ah, is this authentication app turned on, activated? And if the answer is yes, and it's within a particular time window, then you're authenticated by the authentication server. And the idea is it's very simple, very easy. You don't have to have a lot of, you know, random number generators like you use for a lot of two-factor authentication that probably everybody's familiar with to log in remotely to their firm or company's network. And so the idea is, you know, this is simpler and just as secure, if not more secure, because the only other way it could fail is if somebody happens to be, to number one, have your transaction credentials, and number two, happens to activate the, happens to be trying to, you know, buy that large flat screen TV illicitly at the same time that you've just activated your mobile device with the authentication app at the exact same time. So the majority focuses a great deal on the specification, the advantages, and says, guess what, this claim is eligible. And the reason is the claim describes all the steps needed to get to the advantages described in the specification. So the claim doesn't have to recite the advantages, but what's interesting in the Cosmo Key case is if you look at the steps spelled out in the claim, you can see that these are the steps that tie back to the advantages described in the specification. The court says, sure, this is not directed to an abstract idea. It passes muster under step one. The court actually says it describes what the abstract idea was that the district court characterized, and then it recharacterizes what the abstract idea might be. And then it says, but we don't have to decide if this is an abstract idea. We're just going to go to step two and say there's an inventive concept here, and so we don't need to actually commit ourselves to whether or not it's directed to only an abstract idea. And I think when we talk about another case, you might start to see why the Court of Appeals might be reluctant to really decide whether or not this claim is directed to an abstract idea. So I don't think avoiding step one was an accident, right? It was done for a reason. And then the majority said, and when we look at step two, are the steps conventional? Are they routine? Or is there something different about the combination of steps, the order of steps, et cetera? And the district court had looked at the background of the invention section, and it said, look, if you read the background of the invention section, all these steps are conventional. They're all basically admitted prior art. And the Federal Circuit says, no, you're misreading the background of the invention section. It doesn't really say that. And if you read the references and the description of those references and read the following portion of the background section, you see that the patent was describing the prior art, but that prior art does not disclose all of these steps in Claim 1. Judge Reyna issued a concurring opinion and said, look, you know, I agree, except this shouldn't even be considered an abstract idea. We should talk about Step 1. Step 2, Judge Reyna says, is a lifeline, right? It's only, Step 2 is only there as a backstop, so that even if the claim is seen as directed to an abstract idea, there's still a way to make sure that we don't invalidate patents that shouldn't be invalidated. And so focusing on step two instead of going through step one first is a mistake. So that was a little bit interesting in terms of the process applied by the majority opinion. But I have to say, I think this one probably was rightly decided, in my view. I think when we talk about some other cases, we can talk about whether and how to reconcile them.
Thanks, Steve. You know, so the next case we're going to talk about is also another authentication case, and we put these two cases together because I think there's some good discussion here to talk about this specific technology area.